Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Hey, buddy.
What up?
Two things. This water tastes funny.
Is it water?
Yeah.
Okay.
It tastes funny. It tastes really weird.
Well, you're drinking water out of a rocks glass and you're sipping it. So I'm going to guess that
it tastes funny.
It's probably fermented water of some kind.
Two, I gave your mother-in-law the finger the other day.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I don't think she noticed, because if she had, I'm sure I would never have heard the end of it.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah.
And then I insulted your wife when we got here and didn't realize it.
Yeah, because you thought it was her. You mistook my wife for my mother-in-law.
I mean, you were going by real fast on the lake and I was
real
like...
Real fast. 11 miles an hour.
Well, maybe some beers have been had. I don't know.
Yeah.
I see you go by, right? And then all I see like is a redhead in the front. And I'm like, finger out, you know, as they go by. I'm like, oh, that's Danielle. And then after, like, the more I looked, I was like, I don't think that's Danielle.
That's not Danielle.
That's probably her mother.
Yeah. Indeed it was.
Yeah, and then I feel like a super dick. I get here, I was like, oh. And immediately I said, I thought you were your mother. Yeah. That's literally what I said. And you could see it like in her face. Like it.
What?
Like she wasn't sad and she didn't say anything, but she just went blank.
Yeah.
She went from smiling to blank.
She's like, it's way too early for this. Babe, it's afternoon. It's still too early.
It's like, my bad.
That's funny.
My bad. It's not funny. It is funny.
You tried to dig yourself out of a hole and dug yourself deeper.
That's what men do.
Yeah, the difference is, like, once you get over 40, you don't care how deep the hole is anymore.
Yeah.
You're like, just keep going.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't bother you.
Like, that's the benefits of being old. Like, you know how they're just, someone's like, they were a jerk, and someone's like, no, they were just old. You can just get away with being a jerk.
Yeah, I can just be a jerk now.
Yell at their grandkids, hey, you're fat.
Hey. How did we get to fat grandkids?
I don't know. Austin's had a little too much tea, maybe.
Oh, my God. You've been drinking my funny tasting water?
No.
Oh, my God.
My funny tasting water.
What's the matter with you? What'd you do?
I saw
you out on the water, but only for like 5 minutes. I saw you go by.
Yeah, we 90, were...
30 at the speed of smell. My brother literally says to me, is that as fast as they go? Like, it was like...
Yeah.
I was like, yeah,
I guess. When you're wake surfing, it is.
Yeah. Yep. Wouldn't it be more fun if it was going faster?
Well, it won't make that big of a wave when you go faster.
Oh, it can't stay sunk down and go fast? It wants to plane up?
Yeah, it's trying to plane up, plus all the, like, the surf gates that swing out the side and the wedge wing that folds down from the bottom to make the big surf wave.
Mm.
Like, you do, like, 10, 11 miles an hour, cool. 22 miles an hour and you break that shit, and so it you get all these speed warnings if you forget to bring all that in and you
really
try to, yeah.
What's the top speed with that shit out?
Probably 22 miles an hour with the wedge, and it won't, like, with the surf gates out, it won't break 12 or 15 miles an hour.
Like, it just does it automatically override and then shut down?
I don't know, I've never pushed it that far. I've just seen the warning come up on the dash. You're and I'm no like fun. Throttle down.
So, like, when you wakeboard, though, you can go fast.
Yeah, we wakeboard at about 20 to 22 miles an hour.
That's better.
Yeah.
So, if you get outside and then come whipping across, you're moving.
Yeah, you're probably doing 30 or 40
there
crossing
go.
The wave.
Okay, that's better. Yeah. No surfing for me. It just seems so slow. Like, it's like...
Surfing is... So, what's cool, like, when the water's rough, you can surf. When the water's rough, you cannot wakeboard.
You can.
It's just going to beat
gonna
the shit out of you.
You're going to faceplant.
Yeah, it's just going to
You're going to shit
painful.
Whip.
You're not going to enjoy it.
I have seen,
like,
some scorpions happen on,
dude,
like, that's painful. Like, when the board hits you in the back of the head, like, you're done.
I face planted yesterday. and what's funny is I wasn't even doing anything crazy. I was just swinging outside the wake, but it was so rough. I swung outside the wake. I caught a wave I didn't see, caught an edge, and bam, didn't even see it coming.
Oh, was it face down?
Oh yeah.
Arms out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's the worst. Like the water peels your eyelids open.
Well, and
you're just like
all
on,
the other times
on fire.
All the other times you crash, you like loosen your grip on the rope because you're kind of ready to let go if you need to.
Yeah.
Because I was swinging out, so I had a tight grip on the rope. And because I wasn't expecting the crash at that moment, like when I crashed,
the momentum of the boat was also pulling you forward.
Yeah, my lats are stressed today because it like ripped everything out of my hands. It's funny.
So,
good stuff.
I don't know if I go with you if I'm going to even, like, I'm just going to sit in the back, drink beer, and watch you eat shit.
Yeah.
Like that
stadium seating in that thing.
That would be entertaining for me.
It's got seats that flip around and face backwards just to watch the surfers. So,
yeah. You got the music behind your head.
You got all the music you want.
You watch them shit whip into the ground.
No shortage of cup holders. There's probably 40 cup holders in that thing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
The closest I've been to wakeboarding is when I was a kid in elementary school. We would take our scooters on that James Walker Elementary Hill. That street, you know what I'm talking about? They go down Walnut.
Yes.
The closest I've been to wakeboarding has nothing to do with wakeboarding. It doesn't even involve water.
The closest Austin, thing. I love you, dude.
Our listeners are so tired of us talking about boats and water sports.
Probably.
I guarantee
I'm just tying it back in. Like, yeah. I'll finally land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did travel. Go fishing for those that like fishing.
Yeah.
Been killing them.
Slaying them up. Yeah.
Well, no one cares though, except for me. I'm the only one that cares. I love it.
Well, we really don't know because we haven't had stats in a year, so.
Yeah. Oh well. We don't need stats.
Nope.
That's true. I don't care. If they tell us we get no listeners, we'll just keep going.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Their stats are half useless anyway. You had this many plays, this many downloads, this many listens, and this many streams. What the fuck is the difference between all of those?
Yeah.
Like how many people tuned in? Got it.
Do you think Joe Rogan gives a shit? No.
Right.
He's like, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Same here.
I watched one the other day, Joe Rogan. He had Matt Rife on, and he was talking, I guess he has sleep apnea.
Yeah.
He had stayed up for like 9 days straight one time. He's like, I can't shut my brain down. Like, dude, 9 days?
Yeah.
Like, have you ever been awake for like 2 or 3 days?
No, if I don't get 6 hours of sleep a night, I'm a different person.
I know you've not slept for at least 2 days.
Yeah, I've had that.
Like when you get to 3 days, you start seeing things.
Oh yeah.
Because your brain's trying to sleep while you're awake.
Yeah, you're like, hallucinating.
It's weird.
It's one of those things where you get in the car and then you end up where you're going and you have no recollection of how you got there.
Yeah.
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 That's the same thing.
Yeah, it's like doing a bunch of Xanax and then waking up the next day at your buddy's house like, how did I even get here? I called it time travel.
Wouldn't know.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're not missing anything. Yeah. I didn't either. I don't remember shit.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about, Mitch?
Today, we're going to talk about two topics. One is networking versus not working. And the other is pricing transparency. So first on the docket, networking versus not working. Growing a small home service business or a small business of any kind, you need to rely on networking to get as many leads as possible. There's several ways you can network. You can digitally network by becoming friends with people on social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, things like that. Facebook is significantly better for online networking than Instagram and other things because Facebook has groups. And so you can start networking in your local community groups and get boatloads of work. But you'll also have localized in-person networking events. Some of those are Chamber of Commerce things. Some of those are any other form of networking groups. You've got like Referral Madness and BNI, Business Networking International. Like there's some nationally based networking groups. But then you've also got small unofficial networking groups where it's like I go out to lunch with me and 3 or 4 other guys every month, like clockwork. And they're all business owners, and we all just chat about how we can help each other in business. And like one of them does flooring, one of them sells fireworks. Like they're fireworks. Nothing. Yeah, they're nothing related to each other, and so it's pretty cool to network with these guys because you're not offering advice to a competitor or anything else. You're offering advice to just general business stuff. How do you handle people? How do you handle data? How do you handle, you know, sales and money stuff and just all kinds of things like that. So.
Did you say Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, Chamber of Commerce will do networking
things.
That's
like the original small business, small hometown networking group. Like that's the original, like what I think a lot of people think of when they think of networking is, oh, I got to be a member of the chamber.
Yeah.
And I got to do this and I got to do that. And I think that's what turns a lot of people off of networking. They think that it's some kind of like very serious, very formal, like I have to be a part of this group. I have to, you know, do this. I have to do X, Y, and Z. And that's not really what networking is. Networking is really making friends in your community that can help you and that you can help them.
Yeah.
Like I think if people would think of it more along the lines of quote unquote building relationships within my small community, that's what real networking is.
Right.
Like when you are open and friends with those people and you can actually share like, hey, this is what I did to get me here.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I came across on the internet last week that could help you guys.
Right.
Like, and that's what, like you get together with those individuals and just have lunch or share coffee or whatever. Like that's what real networking is.
Yeah.
Like in my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, digital networking obviously is easy. It's easier to network with a lot of people through Facebook or whatever, but to build those real relationships, those small group settings, I think are really what people need to be involved in. Not necessarily the quote unquote, you know, I gotta be in a B&I group. I gotta be in the chamber. I gotta be in, you know, Better Business Bureau or what. No, you don't.
Right.
You can set up your own small networking groups that are literally, hey, let's get coffee the first Friday of the month.
Right.
Like that's it. That's as simple as networking can be.
Yeah. The biggest challenge though, and that's the title of this discussion is networking versus not working, is a lot of people go into networking with no intentions. And so then they come out of networking with no results.
Yeah.
And they ended up just not working the whole time.
Well, they think, oh, I showed up, I networked.
Right.
No, you didn't.
Like I handed out these archaic things from the 80s called business cards that nobody uses anymore. And they sit in the cab of your truck and then you throw them away a month later after you've done nothing with it. Right. I have a whole stack of them. Right?
I take pictures of mine and then don't worry about them. But then when I see something come up, like I need a new garage door, like Andrew Powell's is in there.
Right.
Like it's boom. Okay. There's his number and all his info.
Right.
That's even still old school. You know, you can just save their number on your phone.
Right.
And then just look it up later, you know?
And that's why that, so I do this thing where whenever I go to these events, I don't bring business cards. If I do bring anything, I bring $50 off coupons. It's like a gift card to our plumbing company for $50 off.
It's a business card that allows, that
it's a business card they're not going to throw away.
Yeah.
Because it's worth $50.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of, you know, everyone's got the same American Family Insurance or Country Financial or,
hey, would you like my business card?
Yeah. And and so like I went to a networking event in Lee Summit a couple of weeks ago and it was great. Like there was a great turnout.
What was it? Who put it on?
I don't even know.
Was it a chamber event or was it just like you got invited randomly?
I got invited from somebody that was like, hey, you should come
to this.
I'm
going to this. You should go.
Yeah. And they only do it 4 times a year. And they do a really good job. They have like this gamified system where everybody gets a colored dot on their name tag. And then they use those colored dots to position you throughout the room. And then it's like 10 or 15 minutes of conversations in your group of 6 or 7 people.
And they say blue dots move to the
left.
And
then then people move around. And so it forces you to have conversations with about 36 people throughout the whole thing.
Oh, that's good.
And so, yeah, they've got a really good system to force you into the conversations, but you still have to have the conversations. And here's how most people attend not working events, right? They're networking events, but they're doing it wrong. So they're called not working events. And here's how
got it. That was good.
So they come in and they think everybody needs to buy their stuff. And so without asking,
they're going right into sales pitch.
Well, and without even asking anything to learn about you, they just assume you need their product and their service. And so they're just cramming business cards in your face. Like, here, take my card. Call me later. Let's set up a meeting. I can totally help you. And it's like, for one, you don't know if I needed the help. And for two, you don't know if the person that I'm currently using for that service is exceeding expectations or not.
Or standing next to you.
Or possibly standing right next to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so like I had, you know, dry out companies love to pepper plumbers, right?
Yeah.
And especially
plumbers that flood a lot of houses.
Right.
Just saying. That was not a dig at you.
Yeah, I know. No, that's,
I mean,
they actually don't like plumbers that flood a lot of houses because one of the perks that they all do is if we refer them work, they'll clean up our wet messes for free. And so they like partnering up with companies that don't make a lot of wet messes because.
So when you start telling them you flooded a lot of houses, do they just walk away?
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Four in 4 years is not a lot.
I'm just fucking with you.
Actually,
two houses in 4 years, technically.
Touche. Touche, Mitch.
I had a kind of a personal experience with the networking just here recently. My wife and I, we visited a coffee shop in Grand Valley for the first time. I think it's like Valley Coffee or whatever.
It used to be called Joe Schmo's.
Yeah. And so we walked in and I thought it was like really weird. Like we walked in and the owner came right up to us and was like, "Hey, my name's Brenda. I'm the owner." And
you're the first customers we've had today. Thank you for stopping by.
Well, like what I mean is a lot of people at that point would have been like, "Oh, I do this and I do this. You wanted this card?" And like literally the first meeting sometimes is you just get to know each other. "Hey, right. I'm Brenda, this is what we're doing," and I introduced my wife she was kind of leading the conversation, but it's just a lot of people are so anxious to like dive right into like, "Well, I do videography and this, and you need little," you know, it's like,
right.
We spent the whole first time just getting to know each other because it's just like she could have no need for us whatsoever, and we're just friends. Great.
Yeah, real networking is building relationships. Yeah. That's what real networking is.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and the problem, it's funny you bring up the relationship thing, because there's parallels to actual, like, male-female relationships here, right?
Of course.
So no girl likes the guy who jumps into their DMs and starts giving them dick pics right away, right? Well, nobody in a networking event likes the person who starts the conversation with, "Here's my card. We need to set up a meeting. You need my services."
I hate that more than anything ever. Like, if you need my services.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you know what I need?
Right.
Like, you know, what I need is a Xanax and a bourbon and for you to walk away. Like, what? Right. Stop.
Yeah. Those are the people that swipe right on everybody on Tinder. Nobody's off limits. Everybody's my type.
I never would have thought that this conversation was going to go Tinder.
Yeah.
Well, there's different styles of networking. Some people you do direct business with, and there are some people that you don't do direct business with, but they're an asset and just bouncing ideas off of them.
Right. And that's the whole purpose of networking is that the goal is that you make a relationship and you learn how you can help them. And if you do that enough, all of a sudden, you'll start getting helped.
Well, right? you become the center. This is going to sound wrong, but you become the center of attention. You become the light in the room. And then things are just naturally, they gravitate towards you.
Right.
Like, it's just what happens. People sense when you're doing right for the community and when they have an issue, even if you're more expensive, they're like, "Oh, I know that's a stand-up guy. I'd rather give him money,"
right?
Or I know that if he's going to come into my house, I can trust him immediately.
Yep.
And what do we talk about all the time? Know, like, and trust.
Yeah.
If you've already got the trust and the like, I mean, now they come into your home and all they have to do is get to know you for 10 minutes and you've got the job.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
You're not always going to be able to get work from everybody that you network with.
No.
Not directly. Right. But like, let's say I meet a realtor at one of these events and they already have a plumber that they love. Cool. How else can I support you? What other ways can I help? And then when that plumber isn't able to get to him,
they call you number two.
Yeah. Who are they going to call next? They're going to call the guy that was there for him, right?
Yeah. And even if that person does not, say they use you one time, right? And they don't go back to you, not because of anything, but just because of the loyalty for their first plumber, they're still going to refer you later.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is, and we were talking about this the other day on, I think it was one of the group calls in Trade Ones, but just the natural spider web that happens when you're on social media is what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. But networking groups are the same way.
Yeah.
That natural spider web, the initial relationship you make with one person can turn into a relationship with 50 to 100 potential customers.
Yeah.
Just because you made the one, how do I say this? You made the one nice gesture to help someone that you knew wasn't going to use you.
Right.
Or, you know, or had someone else. It didn't matter.
Right.
That spider web is still started.
Yeah. Unfortunately, most people run into these events with the wrong intentions. They run into these events thinking,
you're thinking sales, sales, sales.
Sales, sales, sales. Thinking. And when it doesn't happen, if they don't close the deal on the first date, they think it's like business speed dating is really what it is. Like, they're trying to get in there and make a sale right out of the gate. Right. Yeah. And I go into these things with two objectives every time. I want to have at least one impactful conversation with somebody else that I cannot help in any way directly.
Okay, that's right? Good.
And then I want to have enough conversations with people that one of them will call me when they need our services.
Yeah.
And you can't guarantee the latter. You can't guarantee that.
No, but you can
the
say
the day you walk out of that.
But you can say if I have, I know that if I have 15 great conversations, I'm going to get one customer.
Right.
Or you can think you'll get one customer, but the objective is have the 15 conversations or the 20 or whatever.
Yeah. And so that event that I'm referencing, remember on a show, is either the last show or the show before, I was talking about meeting with a guy that I didn't really know what he wanted.
Give me a little more.
And then he wanted to chat with me about marketing and he didn't even have the Google page.
Oh yeah.
That was last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, ironically, after that meet, so that was kind of an extension of let me provide value to somebody
telling him,
that most likely
dude,
can't ever use
me. You have to have a Google business. Like, what are you doing, bro?
Right. Yeah. And so that was me fulfilling that. It didn't occur. Like, I had other meaningful conversations where I added value to people that can't use me necessarily. I had those the same day, but that was kind of an extension of that. Well, ironically, this morning while I'm in the gym, I get a text from that guy.
Nice.
And he needs some emergency plumbing work. And so we got him on the schedule, and I literally, my phone, if you saw me just pick up my phone a second ago, the guy just gave us a 5-star review on Google.
Nice.
So,
what was his issue? I just want to, I'm just curious.
I think it was it was leaks under a sink or something. A couple of stops.
Simple stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
Easier stuff. So
good.
But going into networking events, just thinking like the proverbial golf tournament, right? The business golf tournament. There's so many people that go into those with no expectations whatsoever. And then they're walking away from that half drunk, really sore, because that's probably the third or fourth time they played golf that year.
Mitch.
They're mad.
Not drunk, the sore part.
Yeah. They're mad because they sucked. And
you're never mad because you just like to go and have fun.
I just enjoy it. Yeah. If I lose less than 18 balls on a game, I'm good.
We have a lot of fun when we go.
Yeah.
Like, we do have a lot of fun.
But, we went axe throwing one time and that was just fun to watch.
First off, I will never go axe throwing with Austin.
Why not?
Well, you just stand behind the line.
I can.
And then it increases your likelihood of survival by 85%.
We need to work on breaking down the stereotype of Austin. Dave has like the stereotype of me of like, I go home and I just sit there and eat.
You're the mystic person behind the camera.
Yeah.
We leave it ambiguous.
I do not want you to be throwing axes near me. I'm sorry.
There's a fence in between.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I might go.
Maybe. There actually was a broken TV in our last time we went.
Yeah. They run wild. But like,
I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to get us off task, but
a lot of golf tournaments, these guys will spend all this money to sponsor a team. Their money goes nowhere. And then they think, well, I'm just it's a networking thing. Well, what are your network? Like, you're literally spending all day with the guys you brought with you.
Well, like, you're literally just advertising. Like, if you think of it that way, like, I'm going to go and I'm going to have fun. All you're doing is paying for advertising.
Yeah.
Your name's on a sign.
It's pretty useless advertising, too. Like, nobody remembers the names on the signs at each tee box.
No, I don't
care.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah, no. So let me ask you something. And I don't want to get off topic, but so Smedley's paid for one.
Uh-huh.
But it's part of a bigger sponsorship deal. Uh-huh. What are you going to do differently at the golf tournament?
So,
not to put you completely on the spot, but I am.
No, this is how I turn not working into networking, right? A lot of people would look at golf tournaments and think, oh, it's a fuck off day. And although it will be a fun day.
God, you're not going to ask me to work a table or something,
no,
are you?
No, okay, no, no.
You don't want that.
I want my customers to like us.
Yeah, that's
and
what
so
I'm saying.
I keep you out of their view.
That's another topic for another day, but okay, go ahead.
I see tears, David.
Yeah.
No, I don't cry anymore over that.
So we've heavily sponsored this thing, and so we're going to have like our logo on all the flag pins.
Yeah.
So,
which is going to be cool. Can I get one of those at the end?
I don't know what happens with them. I hope we get to keep them after it's over. I assume we would.
I'll put one in my office. That'd be cool shit.
I'm also going to have custom golf balls made with our logo on them.
You did that for the last one.
I did that so the last one that was included in our sponsorship level. This one it's not. So I'm going to have to pay for it and supply them myself.
Will you please, just as a personal request, not use the same ball? So they were ultras. I had never even heard of ultras. And I played a couple last week with some buddies of mine. They're awful.
Oh yeah. It's a water ball.
Yeah. My buddy Steve's like, dude, what's an ultra? I was like, dude, I don't know, but see Smedley plumbing on there. He's like, yeah. I was like, that's my buddy's plumbing company.
Yeah.
And he's a real estate agent, so I didn't give him your information. But he was like, I've never even heard of this. I was like, yeah, do you see the, like, it's like hitting a rock.
Yeah.
Can you get something good? Like get some Chrome Softs.
Get some Pro V1s out there.
Some Pro V. Yeah. Dude, just
I'll spend $8 a ball on logoing a Pro V1.
Please.
Please, he says.
I'm begging you.
Maybe that's part of the shtick, right? Maybe we have all these boxes of regular ones and then I get one box of Pro V1s.
There
and
you
I
go.
Make the players like earn it.
Yeah.
Like
that'd be cool.
Like we're not wasting the Pro V1s on you, Frank, because you shanked 14 balls today. So whoever turns in the lowest score actually gets the box of Pro V1s.
Yeah, or you play the Pro V1s.
I'll lose all of them.
We leave some out intentionally. Some of them go in the woods. If you turn in a Smedley Pro V1,
oh, there you go.
You get X.
Yeah.
Like if you find one out there. Like you know,
well, so that's leading into my next thing is I haven't decided the final design for these balls yet. And the idea is the balls are a gift card or a coupon to the company.
Oh, like Smedley Plumbing. And
this
then
ball
like
is worth
$50 off
Smedley Plumbing.
That'd be perfect.
And then I just drive around the course and just throw them off by the car path.
It's so weird that I brought that up.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
That's on the list of possibilities,
like
right?
But I didn't know that. That's good.
I've also thought about parking our van.
I'm gonna steal
out in the middle of a fairway, and having somebody monitor it. It would be like one of the games across the course. It's a scramble tournament, so they always
have
all these
talked
wild games.
About this one.
And then, like, if you hit the van with your drive, you get entered to win a tankless.
Like, you gonna put it out at like 300 or something?
Well, a couple of different options. Obviously, nobody wants their van damaged.
That thing's I am going to blast one off of it from 2 feet.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
tell you that.
You would tee up right behind it.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
So I've thought about, like, obviously, if I use one of our actual vans, it would have to be pointed towards the green so that way nobody's going to hit glass.
Yeah, you don't want to hit that front windshield.
Yeah. That would be a fun claim to the insurance, though. I was just driving and a golf ball hit it.
Yeah. I was driving through Lakewood.
I mean, I was using my driver.
It's funny, your dad's the insurance agent too. Hey, Pops.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I got to get a claim in.
Yeah, we're currently going through a renewal right now, so hopefully my insurance company isn't listening to this. But then we thought about like maybe, okay, if that's too dangerous, we've got the little go-kart. Like we might use the go-kart and do the same thing.
That'd be cool if you could do like that
on a par three and set it just on the fringe
of
the green or something.
And put like a net in the inside. Like if it bounces in or you make it in the go.
Oh, that'd be
cool.
Fun. Chip it down into the top.
Yeah. Like if you make it in there on a hole in one, it goes in there, you get whatever. Free tankless. I bet Ferguson would give you, Ferguson's pretty tight.
Yeah.
You might be able to get one from Navien though.
Might be able to figure something out there.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But
that's what we're talking about, networking versus not working. Like, that's work.
Right.
Like, that's the point. Like, instead of just paying and then showing up with two teams, it's what can I do to maximize the impact of my dollars spent at this event? Like, what can I do?
Right. And
you
so
know
that's,
what I mean? And
as I'm selecting these people on the teams, like, for one, I suck at golf. I enjoy playing it. I'm horrible.
Yeah, but we have
fun. So, like, I don't have to play for this thing to be a success.
No,
but like
of course
as I'm
not.
Trying to figure out the teams that I'm playing with, I'm in being intentional of like who do I want to sit in a golf cart with for 4 hours?
Yeah.
Right. And no offense to Dave, as fun as it would be to sit in a golf cart with Dave.
I was just gonna say, yeah, that does you no good.
It would be strategic for me to go find somebody that I want to partner up in business with, like maybe a real estate agent or a property management company or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And then I invite them.
Yeah.
And so now they get a free round of golf. We get 3 hours to learn about each other and see if we can make something happen.
Yeah.
Like that's
God,
more
you're not
than,
kicking me out of the tournament, are you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Good.
I got my list of
players. I went full fucking panic mode there. Like, oh my God, I already told Joe we're playing.
So we have five spots filled. We have three left.
Yeah.
And those last three are going to be strategic about like who we use.
Yeah. And then you can always, I know a lot of guys do this, like when they play in those tournaments where they play networking events, they'll switch every six holes.
Yeah, move
somebody.
Around a little bit.
Yeah. If you switch six holes, you get to sit with three different people.
Right. Right.
So, or four different people, I'm sorry.
And ultimately, the balance between networking versus not working is just your intentionality going into it. So many people introduce themselves into networking events thinking it's like fuck off time, or like as my wife used to say, playing business, right? This is what business owners do. I'm going to go rub shoulders with other business owners.
I'm not,
right?
From now on, you're not getting any more checks from me either. Until she apologizes.
Until
she apologizes to me.
but that's the mythical playing business. And it's like, no, you're wasting massive amounts of time if that's the idea.
Well,
right?
And let's be honest, like when you, especially for tradespeople, like when they do that kind of stuff, they don't see the value because, okay, normally they go out, they do a job, they get paid. Okay.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
It's hard for them to transition their mindset to, okay, I'm going to this networking event, but it is still work.
Right.
Even though you're not seeing a check come in when you're done with those 4 hours, like, it's still work.
Yeah.
You're working for the long term at that. Like, I feel like that's one of the big hangups, like we talk about in TradeWinds a lot, or that we, like, things that I dealt with, like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not putting yourself out there, you're not investing in your own future or the future of the business.
Right.
Because you're just like, how do I say it? You're not seeing, what do they say that? You're not seeing the forest through the trees.
Yeah.
Like, you're just not seeing the return immediately. And so, well, it's hard for you to stomach.
You got to think at a,
or to
a,
get over it.
You got to think deeper than just the superficial. The superficial, yeah, is, I go to your house.
That's what I was looking for. Like, superficial.
Yeah. Most Thank people you. Start up a business and they think, well, people just want to call me. Well, no, you have to give them a reason to want.
Yeah. We
right?
got one of them guys in TradeWinds.
So I
he's
posted,
actually out now, but
I'm not going to talk about it on the podcast until something actually happens about it. But I posted it in our TradeWinds group about, like, hey, I went to lunch. This was last Friday. I went to lunch with a guy last Friday that is a long-term play for the business that would require me starting up a completely separate business.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
That's just for the point of harvesting customer data and leads. And so then I would use that business and that the customer data from that business and then market the plumbing business back to them.
Yeah. Well, and you would use those businesses off of each other.
Yeah, they would play off of each other, right?
Yeah.
And so
this is kind of what I was talking about a few weeks ago that I still haven't brought up with you, but
yeah,
that's another topic,
but
for,
like,
another day.
That was a very intentional lunch. This wasn't just me saying, hey, you're a business owner, I'm a business owner. Well, apparently we're supposed to go to lunch together.
Yeah. And at lunch, we talked about sports and the Royals and we had some beers and then we went home and took a nap. Like, what was the whole point?
Right.
What are you doing?
And so, you know, I bought this guy lunch. It was cheap. It was like $47 after tip for the both of us. And, you know, we started a relationship that might grow into something really great where it helps him and it helps me and everything.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, you have to have intentionality when you're networking.
Yeah.
And that lunch was an intentional lunch.
Yeah. Very, like,
those
very
coffees
intentional.
Are intentional.
Yeah.
Like, don't just do them to do them.
Right.
Do them to gain something out of it or to provide something to someone else.
Yeah.
You know, during that lunch.
Yeah. And I was, this is probably the wrong word, but I'll use it anyway. I was pretty vulnerable with the guy about my intentions and everything. And so basically,
you mean vulnerable as in you told him straight up, like,
I told him
honest, like, this is what I would want to do.
No, I told him straight up, like, the reason I wanted to talk with you is this, this, and this. And
you're very transparent.
Yeah. I can see value in, for me, with this, this, and this. And then he would be able to, like, he could take that information and completely leave me high and dry with it. And then, because there's value to him with that information too.
Yeah.
So he could leave me high and dry with it and then go run on his own with that information. But there's,
it could benefit him.
It could benefit him. Yeah. And so there's the level of no like and trust there where I trust that he's not going to do that. Right.
Yeah.
And so it networking properly done is always going to be you helping out more than you're being helped. And then after you stand back and look at it for a year, you're like, holy cow, we got so many word of mouth referrals. We got so many recommendations. Like, how did all this happen?
The unselfish act.
Right.
It's so cliche and so ridiculous, but it works.
Yeah.
Every freaking time.
We'll hit one more digital networking scenario, and then we'll roll on to pricing transparency. So over the weekend, community groups are a great place to digitally network and get your name out there for business. And so there was a post in one of the local community groups, and basically the person was saying that they had just bought a house and they're pretty sure that the laundry in the kitchen are tied to the septic system. And based off of their knowledge, that's not supposed to be. And so they need somebody to give them pricing on separating those. And
well, it depends on how big your field is.
Right. And so all these comments of people, you know, oh, call me. Right. They're leading.
They're
leading
forward.
By swiping right.
Yeah. They're sales forward.
Right. They're basically giving the proverbial dick pic by saying, call me. And instead I wanted to lead with value. Right. And so I said, yes, old school. I made a comment. And I said, old school septic systems did want you to separate the kitchen and the laundry from the rest of the septic. However, modern systems are designed for everything to go out the house in one pipe and go into your septic system and then in through your lateral field. So there is a very, very high likelihood that you are perfectly okay. If your system is of the age where it needs to be split, chances are your system's of the age where you probably need a whole new system anyway. And that comment...
Or at least flip the field.
Right. Yeah. And that comment got more reactions than anything else. And what did it cost me? It didn't cost me shit. For one, we don't do septic work. I just know about it, but we're not licensed to do septics.
Oh, you're
so,
not?
Uh-uh. It's a 40-hour course, in-person course to be septics. And
Jackson County is a dumpster fire. I know.
And if you want to do low-pressure systems, it's an 80-hour course. And it's like, I don't want to give up 80 hours of my time to go get licensed to do something that we don't... I mean, we see them a fair amount here, but we're not competitively priced to be competitive
not.
In the septic area and everything else. So
you know, it's weird you brought that up. We have low pressure at my house.
Yeah.
But then my laundry is separate in my backyard.
Yeah, and then your low-pressure systems, a lot of times your laundry will go out
separate.
But
then my brother's laundry in the guest house, I just piped it right to the tank.
Yeah.
So his goes out front.
Yep.
That's why I have to have it moved if I ever want to put a pool in.
Right.
Makes me so mad.
Yep. Well, and a lot of houses are going low-pressure these days because they changed the PERC rules.
Yeah.
And so most houses now have low-pressure pumped up to the lateral field, and then they even have a curtain drain wrapped around the lateral field.
Yeah, a lot of them do.
So ever since they made all that design change, septics got, like, they doubled in price.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy how...
Yeah, it's insane, dude.
I mean, they're $30,000 to $45,000.
I will say mine, the only reason I had to have it is because, like, out our back, like, where it steps off, it's rock.
Yeah.
Like, so I had to do it.
Yep.
But
yep.
I will say this, it works great.
Yeah. No, the low-pressure systems work amazing.
Not to get you off topic.
That was another way that you can digitally network, right? Because there are, you know, I like to think that for every reaction, there's another person reading your post that didn't react to it. And so that comment had 15 or 20 reactions on it. So there's at least 30 to 40 people that I now had a positive impact with.
Yeah, and even if you get 1%.
Right.
It's a customer.
That's a positive impact of somebody that can't say anything bad about our company, right? Because we led with value instead of led with swiping right and unsolicited.
Yeah, sales. That's three.
So, topic two for the show.
Oh my God, buddy. I love you.
This topic was created by Austin.
Who's Austin?
Austin is some guy that sits behind the camera. He shall remain faithless.
Yeah.
Often heard, never seen.
Yeah. I get
duplicated.
I get a lot of comments about Austin when I talk to people.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do they say?
They'll say he looks exactly like I pictured he would look. That's what they say. So good on you for playing the part.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, they're usually like...
They say he's dashingly handsome.
They're usually just like...
Very muscular.
They're like, I don't get Austin. Like half the time, like what he talks about is good. Like, that's great. And half the time, I can't follow what he's saying.
Yeah. That's...
But then it's usually... He is doing a lot better than when he first started. Like,
well,
so that's it. Dude, this is the... I got killed. This was last week. I met someone or was messaging someone that had started listening to the podcast and then had gone back and listened to the first nine.
Oh, boy.
And they're like, dude, those are... You can't even fucking listen to those. They're so bad.
We've gotten better.
And I was like... Yeah, we probably need to like reshoot.
We could re-record those.
We got. I was. Dude, he roasted me.
Yeah,
bad.
See, I'm just analytical. Like, I take what I've learned about making videos and storytelling, and I'm like, I'll just apply it to the podcast and how I dialogue out my own stories.
Dude, people like you?
So I just try to do it in real time. I'm like,
they like it.
Hook them. Gotta get them content.
They like the little.
Yeah.
Little snake bite coming in.
I don't like listening to myself though. I hate when I get talkative and I'm listening back and I'm like, Austin, shut up. Because there are times where I'm like, in the moment, I'm like, dude, this makes sense. And I'm listening back and I'm like, dude, I see what they're saying. Like, this is awful.
Yeah. It's not awful. No one has ever told me awful. Okay.
I listen to every single one of our shows, and you can learn a lot by listening back. Dave never listens to our shows.
So I used to listen to them. I used to listen to every one, and I was like, man, the more I try, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm out.
So Austin brings up this topic about how transparent we should be with our pricing. And so this is kind of like twofold, because you've got internal transparency and external transparency. Internal transparency would be justifying your pricing to your internal team. And that has to happen because your team needs to understand that you're priced competitively and you're priced fairly and you're not overpriced. And they need to know that so they can rally behind the pricing and support it and go out there and sell it.
Nothing will kill your sales team worse than if they think you're gouging people.
Yes.
If they think that you're not legitimate, it's not the right word. If they think that you're not fair or that you're not charging an average wage for your area, not wage, but price for your area, dude, they won't sell. They'll undersell constantly.
Yeah.
24/7. You can even hear it. Like you're not going to hear what they're talking about with customers specifically, but like if you were, you would hear them say, now, if it was me,
right,
I would probably go with this, you know, and they're pointing to the lower option.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of how that snakes into their brains because they think they don't want to feel like they're taking advantage of people.
Yeah. If they're not confident in the pricing, they're going to be looking to find customers discounts everywhere they can.
Yeah.
And so internal pricing transparency is key because you want to make sure your guys remain confident in your pricing. And how I do that in our company is, and Austin sees this every month, as soon as our prior month's books are ready, I do a P&L meeting with our guys on our Wednesday meeting.
So the first Wednesday of the month is the month before?
Not always the first Wednesday of the month. Sometimes it's the second. Rarely is it the third.
Yeah, okay.
But typically our books are closed and ready to go 5 days after the end of the month. And so,
So as long as the first isn't before the Wednesday.
Yeah.
Or that first Friday.
Yeah.
Then you're good.
Nonetheless, it's still a monthly thing. We do it once a month.
Yeah.
And so we go over the books. We go over top line revenue. We go over closing percentage. We go over average tickets. We go over how much of our revenue we spend on materials, how much we spend on labor, how much we spend on marketing. We also go over the business overhead. Like the way that I break it down is your gross performance is all your field team. They generated the sales. And they also used their own field labor and materials to leave you with gross profit. So the field team's job is to go out there and create as much gross profit as they can. And then it's the business side, the operational side, to use that gross profit efficiently and run the business. And then hopefully you have as much left over as possible at the end of running the business, right?
Yeah, not overspending on rent, don't be spending 25% on marketing, things like that.
And so we hold these meetings and we go over what the benchmarks are and what the targets are and where we're actually landing and all of this stuff. And so those meetings do a couple of things. One, if you have a sales guy that had a banner month, he thinks the company had a banner month. The company that you could have a sales guy have his best month ever and the company still lose money that month.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And if everyone else shit the bed,
right,
it really doesn't matter.
And so the transparency helps with that. If the company has a great month, then you can run into situations where the company has an amazing month and your team thinks the company made gobs of money this month. And until they actually see it on the P&L, they're always going to assume the company is more successful than it is.
Yeah. And that helps with team building too.
Yeah.
You know, when they come together and they can see that stuff, like, hey, this guy didn't bring as much in, or Mitch spent too much in this area. Like, it allows everyone to come together and work towards a common goal.
Right.
Let's be honest, that's one of the hardest things to do in business when you have 3, 4, 5 guys.
Yeah.
You know, it just is. Like getting multiple people to move in the same direction is like herding fucking ducks sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough.
You okay? You all right? It's only 1 o'clock.
Gotta yawn.
You all right? Get this guy some coffee.
So we go over all the benchmarks and all everything else, and like industry average performance for a plumbing company is like 6 or 7% net profit. And so that means if a business does $100,000 in sales, by the time they pay all their bills and pay all their people and pay all their everything, they're only pocketing like $6,000.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Yeah.
And that may seem like a lot, but that's not very much, especially when you look at all of the stress and all the headaches and all of the motion that has to go on to produce the 100,000 in sales.
Yeah.
And so if you're doing industry average performances and you're seeing 6 or 7% net profit is after all bills are paid.
Yeah.
This is net profit is what you're going to have to pay taxes on. Right. And so after all of that, 6 or 7%, it's not worth it. Like if a business is only making 6 or 7% net profit, they would actually be smarter to sell everything in the business and take that money and go invest it in the stock market, because you can get 6 to 7% in the stock market and not have to lift a fucking finger. You're not risking flooding houses. You're not risking paying off an injury of an employee. You're not risking getting sued or anything.
I'm not going to dive into that. The market sucks right now.
Well, it does.
It's up, but
it does.
But you're right.
But on a long enough timeline.
And that's why we like our, so our actual breakdown is we tell the plumbing guys 20%.
Your goal, what you want to have is 20% net profit.
Yeah.
Because at that point, it's worth it for you to keep running the business.
I mean, and let's be honest, 15 is still great.
Yeah.
Like if you're at 15, and this is weird you brought this up because I've been working on one for HVAC, but like an HVAC one, your net profit, if you're making 10% in the HVAC industry, you're killing it. Because your ticket price is so much higher.
Right.
Like if you're making 10%, you're killing it.
I'd venture to say the same math we have for the plumbing one applies to the HVAC one too.
It's close. The only two numbers that are different are equipment pricing.
Right.
Is about 10 to 15% higher, and then net profit is about 10% lower.
Yeah.
And that's the trade-off. Those two numbers are the ones that are different. Those are the exchange.
Yeah, So that's your internal transparency and why you want to be that transparent, right?
Yeah.
The businesses that shield all of that, like you'll see this on, I'm on the House Call Pros Facebook group. And I'm amazed they let me in there because I'm not a user of House Call Pro in any way.
They don't care, dude.
I don't know. What's funny is it took me forever to get on the FieldPulse Facebook group because they don't even manage it themselves.
Don't get me started on FieldPulse. So, I love FieldPulse. They sponsor the show. The guys that work there are great. Their system is great, but it's like sometimes I'm just...
They got some squeaky wheels in the office.
Yeah. Like I'll email Michael and he's like, well, we had this and this and that. And I'm like, dude, come on, bro. What are we doing?
Yeah.
But they're working through it. They do have a good service.
On the House Call Pros Facebook group of like, what do you think about installers seeing the price on an install where they're going to put it in? Like, why in the world would you shelter your own employees from what you're charging the customer? Like, that's horrible culture.
Yeah.
And that's creating a culture where the guys hate working for you because they think you're hiding. Like, if you're hiding the price you're charging, what else are you hiding?
It's immediate animosity.
Yeah.
And once that little animosity seed is placed, like all it does is grow.
Yep.
Like you do not want to do that right out of the gate. Like, come on.
You don't want to do that ever.
And then people wonder why these big companies, their turnover is 30 guys a month.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
That would be like having your cashier not know what things are supposed to cost. Meanwhile, it's their job to collect
money. That's a great freaking analogy.
You know what I mean? It's just dumb. And so...
That's good, dude.
Like you want to maintain transparency all the way through. You don't want anybody in your company not knowing what you charge and why you charge what you charge, right?
Yeah.
And so we actually focus on it so hard. We celebrate it. Like, guys, we're able to give you better insurance than anybody else out there because of this.
Yeah.
And we're paying you more per revenue dollar. Like, our labor to revenue percentage is higher at our company than the industry average because I like keeping people on the team.
Yeah.
I don't like turnover.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, like the two shops that you have now, it's like, guys, you know, some of those guys are thinking, man, I wish we had a big shop like BH or,
right,
you know, whatever. Like, do you realize if I pay for that shop, like your check is cut, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
You don't.
That money's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah, it's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
And guess what? It ain't coming out of my end because, right, I'm making less than you are. Like, what?
Right.
Like, what are we doing here?
And,
you know,
so,
and when they can see that stuff, it allows them, like I said earlier, to be part of the team.
Yeah.
And to be moving forward.
Right. Right. Yeah, it gets them part of the goal rather than just, you know, keep rowing and I'll tell you where we're going when we get there.
Yeah,
you know,
like that doesn't...
It doesn't do anything.
That makes guys row like this.
Yeah, they don't want to.
They're just super slow.
They're only rowing hard enough to not get fired. Yep.
Said Office Space. I love it.
So the other half of pricing transparency is external. It's to your customers. And in this case here... you kind of have two different conversations with pricing transparency. One is, how transparent are you with your pricing before you've ever seen the work? The other is, how transparent are you with your costs that would justify why you charge what you charge? And so the first half, how transparent are you with pricing before you've ever seen the work? The industry...
It's changing.
The norm in the industry is you charge a service charge, you do not give any pricing until you're on site, and all of this. And the reason why is because before the internet got as popular as it is, you could pull that off. You could easily pull that off. You could say, we don't give pricing out over the phone. We have to get there, and the customer's paying a service charge fee to show up. And then the service charge becomes a leverage tool or an extortion tool of like, hey, you have to pay the $80 even if we don't fix it. So if you want to spend $80 and us not fix it,
yeah,
then you can decline the repair. Or you can spend more than you planned on spending and just get it repaired, and then you hate us forever because we were too expensive, right?
That's an interesting way to say it.
I mean, it's how most...
It's true.
Real,
it's 100%
right?
True.
And so industry is changing to where there is more online pricing available. You can start to see what water heaters cost installed on average. You can start to see all that. Like, Google's put out bad information for years. Google's put out information that's like a half to 60% of what it actually really does cost.
And the problem with Google is, like, the price on the West Coast is going to be different than here.
Right.
Like, not only does it cost more to live out there, so you have to charge more, but to get some of those parts out there sometimes in a market where there aren't enough blower motors, you have to pay more for them.
Right.
So you're getting 2X'd over sometimes and don't even realize it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and that is a big problem. I will say the other thing is, as far as the HVAC industry goes, like, say I Google, how much does a fan motor, condenser fan motor cost here in Kansas City? Like, you're going to get prices now that are pretty close to what I'm can get one for.
Right.
Even at the supply house.
Right.
Now, they got to wait for shipping and they got to try to put it in and all that kind of stuff, but it has shrunk your profit margin.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, it has definitely shrunk it.
So I just Googled, how much does a water heater cost to install? And once I get past the paid ads.
What? You just said water heater. You didn't say electric. You didn't say 40 gallon. You didn't say 50 gas, nothing.
Just electric.
Okay.
Or just water heater.
Okay.
So the first thing says it costs an average of $1,500 to $3,000 to install a high efficiency water heater, but the cost rises depending on the type. The next response says $2,500 to $3,000 for a new tank type unit and $6,500 to $7,500 for a tankless. And the next one says $1,425 to $1,800, which includes the unit itself and professional installation. Okay.
Like, so when you say that to me, I'm not in the plumbing industry. I mean, I have done some, like the 14 to 18, I think that's an electric water heater change out.
Well,
but that's cheap.
Here's the problem with this is your mind reads what it wants to read and it remembers, right?
That's where I was going with that.
So you've got pricing anywhere from $1,425 all the way to $7,500 in those three responses. You now have $1,425 stuck in your head. And so now when you call plumbers out to your house, anybody that's over $1,425, if you're of the negative mindset, you're going to think that plumber's trying to quote unquote rip you off because the internet said it was cheaper.
Yeah.
Right.
And this, man, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but that's because people are dumber. Like, they could, the next logical step would be to Google, how much is a water heater at Home Depot?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and then when it comes up and says 850,
right.
You know, or it brings up, you know, 50 gallon gas,
right.
40 gallon gas, 40 gallon electric, 50 gallon, you know what I mean? And then they can say, they can look and be like, oh, those are all different, but people don't do that.
Right.
Like you were saying, they stick to the lowest price and they're like, okay, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Like if I get a deal, and that's what a lot of people feel like they have to quote unquote get a deal, you know? Okay, I'm getting a deal if I get $14.50. So they will call until they hear someone say $14.50.
Right.
They will call, or $25, whatever you said.
Right. So on...
Not to babble too much.
No, no.
It makes me mad, man. That shit makes me mad.
Right. And so that's where you have to be careful with your pricing transparency when it comes to customers.
Yeah.
Is because on the phone or on the internet, customers want responses and answers so fast that they're going to dismiss any answer that doesn't support their preconceived ideology about that subject, right?
Yeah.
In other words, confirmation bias runs rampant on the internet.
Reviews are the same way.
Reviews are the same way.
Yeah, they want to read a review that is something that they would post.
Right.
Like if it's a review about value, oh, I'm into value, so I want to read the reviews about value.
Right.
And see where that's at. It's the same thing.
Right. Yeah, so... there's another one that it auto prompted. What is the average labor cost to install a 50 gallon gas water heater? And this one's kind of weird because most companies nowadays are not doing parts and labor. They're doing it as a flat rate price. In other words, I don't care what the labor cost is to put a transmission in my car. What's the total cost?
Yeah.
Right. Same thing with this. And it says that labor cost for installing a 40 to 50 gallon gas heater is $400 to $900. The installation of a tankless water heater labor cost would be $1,470 to $2,500. That's kind of some of the more useless information out there ever.
All that is more confusing.
Right, because it doesn't include all the material that it takes to do it and all of that stuff. Yeah. And so
people that put in a tankless don't realize, okay, I have to have a 110 outlet. I've got to run PVC fluing.
Right.
Like they don't know that.
Right.
And, just creates
and
more
not
questions.
All tanklesses require PVC, so you could burn your house down if you try to put PVC flue on a tankless that doesn't take it.
Exactly.
Right.
And I only put in Navians.
Essentially, you as a business owner, there are things that you're going to learn that you need to be transparent with on pricing, and there are things that you learn you can't. And the line of delineation there is,
do you
have to see it in person to give the price? In other words, water heaters, we have to see it in person. Right. I don't know if you need a pressure regulation valve or not. I don't know if you need a thermal expansion tank or not. I don't know if you framed your basement around your water heater and now we have to demo a wall out to even get to the water heater.
Yeah.
We've seen it hundreds of times.
Dude,
I've cut so many doorways out.
HVAC is the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I put in a 24-inch door. Your furnace is 26.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want me to do?
Right. We're ripping doors out.
Do you want me to pull this out or would you like to do it, yep. sir? Oh, I don't want to touch that. Okay. Where's my fucking hammer, dog?
So we maintain transparency by giving people ranges. We'll tell them our standard packages start at about $1,850 and go from there. It just kind of depends on how much work you need and how much warranty you want. However, once we get a plumber out there, they're going to be able to let you know if you meet the definition of a standard install or not. And the customer's always going to say, like, well, what's a non-standard install? Well, it would be things like doorways that aren't big enough to get the water heater out. And so now we're either having to cut the doorway or cut the water heater. One of the two.
Yeah. What do you want to do?
It may be other things like pressure controls and thermal expansion controls and things like that that you don't currently have that you might need to add.
Yeah.
All of those kinds of things. We might need to update your flue. If your flue's all rotten out, we can't just hook the new water heater up to a rotten flue.
Yeah.
And so then we have to solve why did the flue rot out, right? But you don't want to go on to that too much as your transparency. You just want to let them know what your base packages start at. And then like what we do is we just tell them our base packages start at about $1,800 and go from there. I'm going to say 85 to 90% of the water heaters we install meet the definition of a base installation.
Yeah.
And so we're letting the customers know based off of data, here's what we know, but I can't give you a price until I see yours in person.
Yeah.
Right. And keep in mind, in the future, like the progression of AI, the progression of technology, the progression of everything, where this will go in the future is you're going to have very smart salespeople on the phone and they're going to be pricing stuff out through text messages and video calls with customers.
Yeah. There needs a lot of Zoom.
You're going to see a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of Zoom estimates and all of that kind of stuff. And you know, the sales guy's going to be saying, okay, take your camera and pan over here and I'll pan over here and do all of this.
Yeah.
And that's just where the industry is going. We're already seeing it transition that way now. And so, like you still need the right information to give the good price.
Like we've talked about this in TradeWinds a lot. Like this is what a lot of guys bring up because one guy in particular I won't say his name, but he works for, Home Depot, Lowe's. Okay. One of those big box stores,
right?
Like those people have a set price that they can see. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to put those on his website to make it so that people can buy those. Yeah. Right. Like, and that is like you were saying, that's where that's moving. And then the next step is the Zooms and the one-on-ones and all that. The problem in the industry is, and a lot of it was created by the generation before us, all that mistrust, like you were saying earlier about, oh, well, I can't give you a price till I get there. And then they're leveraging or extortioning you,
right?
You know, using extortion to get you to pay for the, you know what I mean? Well, yep. All that has done is those parents told those kids. And so now those kids are worried that they're getting screwed every time.
Right.
And if you can't give them a price,
yep,
they're just on to the next one.
Yep.
The real issue, the real tactical plan or play, however you want to say it, is how do I provide enough information over the phone or through my website to instill confidence in that customer that when I get there, I'm not extorting them.
Right.
And they still have a good idea of how much they're going to spend.
Yeah.
Like that's the great question.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, where is that balance between those things? Well, how do we do it? How do we get there?
So in that, like when I Googled, how much does a water heater cost?
Yeah.
If you go to the video results.
Oh, here we go. Bring up, are we going to stroke Mitch's ego here?
No.
I know it's you.
Right.
I know it's top, you. You don't have to show me. I fucking have seen it.
Top video on those results is a video that we put out on our YouTube channel talking about how much does a water heater cost,
yeah,
right? And so that's how we do it internally is we make videos that answer a lot of the commonly asked questions from customers. And some of it's pricing, some of it's just general stuff. How do I rebuild my toilet, right?
Yeah, well, and you can answer a lot of those, like just to go back to the water heater thing, because it's so common. Like, is it a 50-gallon electric? Is it a 50-gallon natural gas? Is it a PVC flue or a metal flue?
Right.
You know, those are the questions that, and I know that those videos that you have, it's you're answering questions that you think those people are going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great if you could somehow switch that and you could have all the answers to the customers could answer the questions that you have so that you could give them a good price.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's hard to do through a video that you know what I mean? You would have to be asking.
That's where the questions. Zoom estimate comes in.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you going to do that?
I mean,
I would love it.
No, yeah.
I'll sit in front of a Zoom thing and tell people like, this is what you gotta do.
It doesn't matter. Are we going to want to or not? Like the industry will go that way. And people that don't want to go that way are going to get left behind.
Well, yeah. My wife, she does the telehealth things like through her hospital. So
yeah. You don't even need to go to the doctor anymore. You can go to the doctor and they will just interview you over the phone and ask about how you're feeling and your symptoms. And they'll make you a prescription right then.
Yeah. And not to get completely off topic, I know we're at an hour, but like, the only plumbers that can do that or HVAC techs that can do that are ones with really serious experience.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like you would have to take Spencer and be like, okay, Spencer, you're sitting in front of a computer now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a doctor, there are way more plumbing problems in the world than there are health problems.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's just a math problem.
Yeah.
Like what are those guys going to be making? This is my curiosity. Yeah. I'm not asking you like expecting an answer, but it's like,
those are all things that a business owner has to figure out. Like, are you going to do virtual estimates? And if you are, how are you going to pay that virtual estimator?
Yeah.
Right. They're going to get a cut obviously because they're selling.
Yeah.
So how are you going to pay that person? Are they going to get a base? Are they going to get a commission? Is it all commission? Is it base plus?
I would think it'd be base plus because the amount of crazy calls you could get that have nothing to do with anything are going to be outlandish.
Well,
like, do you have to have four filters before you get to the real guy? Like, you know what I mean?
No, you would just structure that. Like we do virtual water heater estimates. And so you're basically click on this button if you'd like a virtual water heater estimate. And so that you're not going to get all the random questions. It's only going to be water heaters, dude, right?
Drunk guys at 12:30. Click
or do well, one.
We don't
more.
Answer the phone at 12. Like that's part of the reason we don't answer our phones in the middle of the night.
I guess it wouldn't have to be live. It'd be like, okay, if you want to, you basically almost apply. Okay, make a video and you have to hit this box, this box. Kind of like what Google does when you have to verify your business. Send that in, and then you could just review them and watch them. I guess.
Yeah, it's still like. The videos are supposed to be educational. The videos are not supposed to be solving your problem today.
No,
right?
But they could filter customers.
Or
give them more information so that when they call in, they have that information ready.
Yeah. But then even then you're still like you wouldn't want I would not want a scenario where it's check this box if you have a PVC flu, check this box if you have metal flu, because now
people are dumb. They don't even know what the difference is.
What's the difference between PVC and metal? What's a flu?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's
what's
where
a flu. That's the right answer.
I'm serious.
I know. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
That's what they don't know.
It's like people when they want tires for their car and they don't even know what their tire size is. And they're like, can't you just give me a ballpark? And it's like, no, we need to know what size they are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That'd be like if Danielle went in for tires and I needed tires.
Yeah, like, two totally different vehicles.
Yeah, yeah. My tires are $500 a piece. Hers are probably like good tires for her car would be $250. You're talking double.
Right.
You kind of see it in the industry of the automotive industry where I think maybe the plumbing industry is kind of where the automotive industry once was, where it's like, I just want to be able to fix a carburetor and engines. I don't want to learn all this electrical software stuff. But you've seen automotive guys have to learn all this stuff. And so maybe it's like the plumber's time. You have to learn that stuff.
Well, that's why I love millennials coming into the plumbing scene because they're not stubborn.
Yeah.
And everybody that's older than millennials that's currently in the plumbing scene or leaving the plumbing scene, they're incredibly fucking stubborn and they refuse to learn technology. Mm-hmm. Well, technology is the way of the future.
Well,
and so,
I mean, like this is another topic for another day, but like if you've done well and you're 45, you don't have to. You're on your way to retire. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, but there's justification, but if you haven't, like, dude, you're right. Like,
yeah.
Your point's completely valid. Like,
right.
You got to get after it because you're broke.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You
the,
know?
The amount of plumbers that refuse to learn tankless water heaters, for example, because they're new and they're interesting and they're different and they're complex and they just refuse to learn it. And they therefore, forever, they carve out a massive area of their career and a massive area of earnings. Because they refuse to learn one of the higher paying repairs that we can do in the plumbing world.
Dude, how many years ago did I call you and I was like, hey, Mitch, this person wants a tankless and I don't know what to do.
Right.
Like, but my immediate response wasn't, oh no, I don't do that. I was doing heating and air at the time.
Right.
Like, hey dude, how do I do this? He's like, hey, this is what you got to have. This is the best ones in Navien. I said, okay, enough said. Went on Google, Navien. How to install.
Imagine
you know what I mean? It was just like,
sorry, cut you off.
No, you're fine. But it's like I didn't do tank change outs.
Right.
I mean, I did a few. I didn't care. Mm. Like if someone asked me, but like if I went in and they were like, hey, you know, I know you're changing out our stuff and we're doing all this work. Would you check out my water heater? I'd really like to have a tankless. And I'd be like, boom, this Navien is the shit. This is what you need. And like, I completely embraced it. I bet I put in like 15.
Yeah.
I have no plumbing license. Come on, guys.
Right.
Get after it. Stop being lazy. It's really just being lazy
well,
is what it really is.
The reason I brought up refusing to embrace technology is like digital estimates and virtual estimates is technology.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and that's
and
why.
And so you've got all these old school guys that are like, I'm not, unless they're paying a service charge and I'm driving to their house, that's not our customer.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You're going to run out of customers real quick.
Well, and that's why I brought it up, because it's like, how do we, you know, what is the transition?
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, how do we
just look at how people buy these days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You used to have to get in your car and go to the store and hope they had what you wanted in stock. And then if they didn't, you would go to multiple stores. Well, now what do? You go to Amazon and you order it and it's on your doorstep in 6 hours.
I go to two stores. Hardware wise, if they don't have it, it's Amazon on my phone in their parking lot.
Right.
Like, okay, they don't have it here. I have to wait.
Yeah.
I can wait one day. It's fine.
With these sump pump jobs, we've
I hate it. I wish they had stuff at the store again.
We've got pushmatic breakers in some of these sump pump jobs that we have to do. And there is a store in town that sells them, but that store is 50 minutes away. So that's 2 hours round trip.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I can order it on Amazon and it'll be at my doorstep in 3 days. And so when I sell one of those jobs, I just set it up to where I don't want to spend the 2 hours. I go on to Amazon, I go to my recent orders, I order it again, And I just set the job to where we install the job 3 to 5 days later to make sure that it's on my doorstep before we get to the job.
Yeah.
I think the forefront of adapting technology and just other things too, like social stuff, is you like the military. Like, imagine you're in the military and you're like, oh, I don't want to learn how to operate those drones. I want to go on and do it the old school way.
Dude, no, I want to get the drone and bomb their the shit out of their asses. Right.
Do I want to be a bullet glove, or do I want to say we lost another drone today?
Yeah. You know I don't want to learn the technology. You know,
I might
want to
be a bullet glove.
You know, depending on the day.
You know, yeah, 100% depends on the day.
But yeah, ultimately, when it comes to the other part of this conversation is pricing transparency when it comes to justifying your cost as a business. And I've got one very quick and easy answer for that. It's none of the customer's damn business what you do with your money in your business.
Yeah, I like to use the term profit is not a dirty word. Like, listen, if this company doesn't make money with everything I provide my employees to make sure their life is great and our life is great and we keep the doors open and we have time to come to your house at any whim and fix something, like, we have to make profit so that we can grow this thing. Like, inflation is real, right?
Yeah, I just got a call today that my insurance rates are going up 11.5%.
That's another, we can talk insurance next week because I'm mad about that too. But like, if your profits aren't going up to at least match inflation, you're going backwards.
Yeah.
Like, it's mathematics, people.
Yeah.
Like, you have to make money to grow.
Yeah. Outside of making money, it's not the customer's business of what you spend your money on, right? In other words, whenever you go to the grocery store, you've never once thought, this grocery store is overcharging me because these credit card processors are probably really expensive, right? But for some reason in small businesses, you show up in too nice of a truck and they think, well, that company's making too much money. Yeah. You show up with a brand new iPad and they think, oh, if they can afford these fancy iPads, maybe I can't afford them.
Yeah. Maybe you can't afford your house either, bitch. You want to fix your water heater or not?
But like, for some reason, customers like to hold small businesses to different standards that they never hold national franchises to.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's just this weird thing. And so if you want to eventually be on the level of the national franchise, you got to start behaving like that now. National franchises don't justify their pricing. If I called up Raisin Cane's right now and I'm like, I want a breakdown on the price of this meal. How much was each chicken nugget? How much was the batter? How much was the styrofoam box?
The 16-year-old behind the counter would go,
and what was the labor?
Fucking what?
Right. Like,
what?
But for some reason, people want to do that in the trades world. They want to say, like, how much was the water heater and how much was labor and how much were the materials? Right. And then once they learn what you're charging for labor,
I just inflate all of that and then put labor at $50.
I just tell them, the cost to do the job is X and the cost to not do the job is zero. There's your breakdown. Do you want the job or not?
Yeah.
Right.
Get bim, bitch.
It's no different than Raising Cane's. Do you want the number three meal? Cool. It's $7.99. Do you not want it? Cool. It's $0. Get out of the drive thru.
I mean, move your Pinto.
Yeah. It's literally that simple. Right. And so you don't have to justify your pricing to your customers at all. There is no reason you need to. Now, can you be next level and leverage your pricing so that you get more work? Yeah. You can be like, shop our price and compare our quality to the big guys in town.
Yeah.
And you're going to find out the big guys in town can't promise 10,000 hours of experience. And the big guys in town are going to be way higher than what we are. So not only are you getting more experience, but you're getting more experience at a lower cost.
Yeah.
And that's as far as the justification needs to go.
Yeah.
I don't need to tell them how much I spend each month on cell phones or on tablets or how much my CRM costs or how much our uniforms cost.
I did the same thing in HVAC, man. It was like I would go to homes and people would be like, well, you're like $1,000 more. And I'd just tell them, be like, look, I don't buy as much equipment. I don't get it as cheap, but I'm not going to make less money.
Right.
And I'd say, but I'm not a 19-year-old kid that's putting this in that's been doing this for 1 year.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 15. So, I mean, do you want
to take a gamble and what problems?
Yeah. Like, like literally that was when I got that conversation, it was the same spiel every time. Or not conversation, question. It was the same spiel every time. Did I get them all? No. But I mean, it was probably 70%.
Yeah.
It was 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just like, that's the kind of transparency customers really probably need to hear, because they don't understand that, you know, Joe Blow out of DeVry, when DeVry was a thing, at 21, didn't really know anything.
Right.
But they were sending them all to your house. Like, come on.
Well,
like, those are the That's the information they really need.
A lot of it comes down to understanding the true question the customer is asking instead of the question they're vocalizing. Whenever a customer asks for a breakdown on pricing, they don't want the breakdown. The reason they're asking the question is because they don't have confidence in your price. And so they're trying to build confidence in your price by asking, where do you come up with this pricing, right?
By asking questions.
And so if a customer is asking that question, you've already not done a good enough job of explaining your value. But then in addition to that, you don't have to give them the breakdown they're asking for. You just need to give them the confidence they're looking for. They just don't know how to ask it. No customer is going to say, I'm not quite confident in your price. Can you elaborate a little bit more on why it costs this? No customer is going to say that. They're trained by their parents and by society to get three bids and ask for a parts and labor breakdown. And so you, as a good salesperson, have to navigate around that and have to figure out a way to show value and display value so that they don't even ask for a parts and labor breakdown. But if it does get to that, you have to realize I'm not in a good spot if they're asking for this.
Yeah.
And so now I've got a really hard job of building value in this and explaining this is why we charge what we charge.
You've got to up your sales process.
Right. Right. It's a sales breakdown at that point. But that covers pricing transparency on all levels, internal, external, with both what you charge, but then both like how you spend your profits.
Wrap us up, Mitch. Great show, buddy.
Until next time, guys, we will see you later. If this show brought you value or anything that made you think about things in a different way, do us a favor and give us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening on. We would really, really appreciate it. And also share this show with somebody else who might be wanting to hear it. We put a lot of time, effort, and energy into this show. We ask for nothing in return other than for you to help share the show with others who want it. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.